Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Tech Talk podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a topic that sounds a bit abstract but is incredibly practical, the art and science of general insights and analysis.
That's right. It's easy to think of analysis as something tied to specific problems, but this is about building the foundational tools for understanding almost anything. It's like preparing your toolkit before you even know what you'll be building.
Exactly. So, what does general insights even mean? It's about finding those common threads, the underlying truths that pop up no matter the situation. It's about looking past the surface details to see the currents shaping events or perceptions.
And analysis itself is just breaking things down, right? Examining the individual pieces, seeing how they connect, and then forming a judgment. It's the detective work of understanding the whole picture.
But the big challenge with general analysis is avoiding vagueness. How do we make broad observations meaningful? How do we ensure our analysis has real substance, even when the subject isn't narrowly defined?
I like the analogy of a general health checkup versus diagnosing a specific illness. The checkup scans for overall trends and potential weaknesses without a predefined target, which is very much like general insight.
And that's precisely what we're aiming for today, a methodology. A systematic way to generate and present general insights and analysis that you can apply to any topic, whether it's business, personal life, or just making sense of the news.
So, how do we even begin to structure this when the brief is so open-ended? Where do we start building something concrete from what feels like nothing?
That brings us to our first key step, identifying the fundamental building blocks. No matter the subject, there are core components likely present. We need to pinpoint these essential elements.
Right. Think about universal variables that make up most systems. We can categorize them broadly: people, the actors and stakeholders, processes, the workflows and methodologies, technology, the tools being used.
And don't forget the environment, both physical and cultural, which plays a huge role. Information itself is a component, as is the dimension of time and the allocation of resources. Plus, there are always goals and challenges.
For each of these, we need to ask probing questions. What's its specific role? How does it function? What are its typical behaviors? Understanding these individual pieces is the foundation for deeper analysis.
But components don't live in isolation. The real analysis happens when we examine the interconnections. How do these pieces influence each other? This is where the richness of a situation emerges.
We need to map these relationships. Is it direct cause and effect? Is it a correlation, where things move together? Is there a dependency, or even outright conflict between components?
Let's use a business example, a new software implementation. How does that technology affect existing processes? And how do the people interact with both the new tech and the altered processes? Do they embrace it, resist it, adapt?
Ideally, we'd visualize this, right? A diagram with nodes representing components and lines showing the relationships. This mental map is crucial for organizing our thinking about the system's dynamics.
Once we have this map, we can start looking for something even more revealing, spotting patterns, trends, and anomalies. These tell us about the typical behavior of the system.
We're looking for recurring themes. Things like consistent growth or decline, cyclical behavior like seasons, equilibrium where things are stable, or disruptions that fundamentally change the order.
How do we spot them? By looking for repetition, consistency, or predictable shifts in data or observations. This can be statistical trends or qualitative recurring themes.
And just as important is identifying the anomalies, the outliers, the unexpected events that don't fit the pattern. These are often the most interesting insights, signaling problems or unique opportunities.
When something doesn't fit, the analytical instinct should be to ask, why is this happening? What's out of the ordinary? For example, a sudden dip in sales after years of growth is a major anomaly.
Exactly. That dip isn't just a blip, it's a signal demanding investigation. Is it market fluctuation, a product issue, or something else entirely? This moves us from observation to understanding.
Which is our next section, interpretation, moving from observation to understanding. This is where we ask why behind the what.
Interpretation requires context. We need to consider historical context, industry benchmarks, psychological drivers, economic forces, applying different lenses to build a richer understanding.
It's about connecting the dots back to those initial components and interconnections. That sales dip might be a new competitor, external component, or an internal process flaw.
The goal here is to explain implications, moving beyond facts to predict or suggest future states. But we must be careful not to confuse correlation with causation, a fundamental analytical trap.
And based on our interpretations, we can formulate hypotheses, educated guesses that guide further investigation or action. But these aren't definitive answers yet.
This brings us to synthesizing and communicating insights. Analysis is useless if it can't be shared effectively and lead to action or deeper understanding.
Clarity is key. Avoid jargon, complex sentences. Lead with the most critical insight, the punchline, then provide the supporting analysis. It respects the audience's time.
And tailoring the communication to the audience is paramount. Who needs to know? What do they need to know? What level of knowledge do they have? What resonates with them?
If your analysis points to a need for action, recommendations are vital. They should be logical extensions of your insights and, ideally, actionable using the SMART criteria: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
A summary graphic highlighting key takeaways and actions can be incredibly powerful. It provides a digestible overview. And don't forget the medium itself, a report differs greatly from a presentation.
There's also immense power in narrative. Framing insights within a story, using relatable examples, can make them far more memorable and impactful than just dry facts.
Which leads us perfectly to our final core section, embracing iteration and continuous learning. This entire process isn't a one-and-done event, it's a cycle.
Absolutely. General insights and analysis isn't a static endpoint, it's a continuous cycle of learning and refinement. New information emerges, circumstances change, and our understanding must adapt.
We must embrace feedback. After sharing insights, we gather reactions. Did they resonate? Were they understood? Did they lead to the desired actions? This feedback loop is invaluable for refinement.
Based on feedback and new data, we refine our methodology. Perhaps our approach to identifying components needs adjustment, or our methods for spotting patterns need sharpening. The analytical framework itself should be flexible.
And the general aspect makes this adaptable. What works for market trends might apply to team dynamics or social issues. The principles are transferable, making the framework robust.
Ultimately, this is about continuous learning. The more we practice this process, identifying, mapping, spotting, interpreting, communicating, the better we become at seeing structures, drawing conclusions, and adapting.
Let's revisit those fundamental building blocks: people, processes, technology, environment, information, time, resources, goals, and challenges. How do we use them dynamically?
When presented with a situation, actively identify which components are present and relevant. For employee morale issues, we'd examine people's roles and stresses, process bottlenecks, technology frustrations, cultural environment, communication clarity, time pressures, resource shortages, goal alignment, and specific challenges.
Going through this checklist ensures we don't overlook critical areas. It's like a doctor checking all vital signs, not just listening to a specific complaint.
And the interconnections are where the heavy lifting happens. It's not just technology is a problem, but how is it a problem? Is the complex CRM slowing down sales processes, leading to missed opportunities and frustration?
Or are employees overwhelmed by deadlines, time, due to inadequate staffing, resources, leading to burnout and declining quality, information/output? This highlights resource dependency and its ripple effects.
Mapping these relationships, perhaps with a whiteboard or mind map, is key to understanding the systemic nature. You see how a change in one area affects others.
Consider the rise of remote work, it impacts all components. People face new cohesion challenges, processes need rethinking, technology reliance increases, environments shift to home offices, information needs to be asynchronous.
Analyzing remote work means looking at how all these elements interact. A company that just mandates remote work without investing in technology or rethinking processes will likely face significant issues.
Now, patterns and anomalies in this context. Growth could be steady increases in employee satisfaction with remote work. Decline might be a rise in resignations after forcing a return to the office.
Cyclical behavior might be a weekly dip in productivity for remote teams. Equilibrium is a smoothly operating remote-first company. Disruption is a sudden, unplanned shift like the pandemic.
Anomalies are gold mines. A remote employee thriving amidst isolation challenges could reveal best practices. Conversely, a high-performing employee suddenly dropping output needs investigation. Personal issue? Technical problem?
This is where interpretation moves beyond observation. Saying remote work is challenging is basic. Interpretation explains why. The challenge stems from a lack of structured social interaction and clear boundaries, exacerbated by inadequate managerial support.
And synthesizing for communication. Presenting to leadership about remote work challenges might start with, "Our analysis indicates a significant risk to innovation and cohesion due to the current remote approach, potentially impacting long-term growth."
Then, you'd back it up with data. "We've observed a 15% decrease in cross-departmental project initiation, and 30% of employees feel disconnected." Finally, actionable recommendations: invest in virtual team building, train managers, establish clear protocols.
Let's talk about storytelling again. Instead of saying the new process is inefficient, tell the story of Sarah, a customer service rep. Her resolution time jumped from 10 to 25 minutes due to the new software.
She feels she's letting customers down and is exhausted. This narrative makes the abstract problem tangible and emotionally resonant. It connects people, process, technology, and goals.
This entire framework, components, interconnections, patterns, interpretation, synthesis is a toolkit for navigating complexity. It develops a systematic, yet flexible, way of thinking.
The general nature is its strength. It's not about deep expertise in one niche, but the meta skill of analysis itself. Learning to ask the right questions, find connections, and draw conclusions regardless of the subject.
It empowers you to turn ambiguity into clarity and challenges into opportunities. It's about developing a robust mental model for understanding the world.
So, I urge you to practice. Pick a news article, observe an interaction, analyze a personal challenge. Apply these steps. Identify components, look for relationships, spot patterns, interpret, and explain.
This isn't just academic. It's a fundamental skill for thriving. It's how we move from being overwhelmed by information to being empowered by understanding.
And that brings us to our conclusion, the ever-evolving landscape of insight. We've built the tools, mapped the terrain, but the world is dynamic, so our analysis must be too.
Exactly. A scientific paper is a starting point, not an end. Other scientists build, test, and refine. We need that same iterative mindset for our analysis.
Iteration starts with feedback. After sharing insights, we listen. Did people understand? Did it lead to action? This isn't about ego, it's about refinement.
Imagine presenting a new strategy and your team looks confused. That's feedback telling you your communication or even the initial analysis needs work. It's about practical application.
That feedback loop is invaluable. It prevents analysts from being brilliant in a vacuum. Our sales model example showed that analytical soundness isn't enough, operational practicality matters.
And the landscape itself changes constantly. Today's supply chain analysis might be obsolete tomorrow due to new disruptions. A good analyst knows their work is a living document.
This leads to refining our methodology. Perhaps we focused too much on technology and underestimated cultural shifts, or relied too heavily on quantitative data. Iteration helps us improve.
The adaptability of the general framework is its superpower. The principles of breaking down, mapping, spotting, interpreting, and synthesizing are flexible and transferable across different domains.
Consider personal development, components like skills, mindset, habits. We map interconnections, spot patterns like procrastination linked to fear of failure, interpret it, and synthesize an action plan.
Then we iterate. We try a new approach, observe results, get feedback, and adjust. This iterative cycle builds our analytical muscle.
This entire process emphasizes that analysis is not a passive activity. It's an ongoing engagement with the world, a continuous effort to understand and adapt.
It's about developing the capacity to see the underlying structures, to anticipate challenges, and to seize opportunities, no matter how broad or undefined the initial subject might seem.
And that leads us into the summary. Let's look at the key factors and how they play out.
First, the structured approach. Its strength is providing a clear methodology for dissecting any subject, turning vague prompts into actionable analysis, and identifying universal components.
The challenge here is the risk of oversimplification if components aren't thoroughly examined. It requires conscious effort to apply consistently across diverse situations.
Next, identifying interconnections. This reveals dynamic relationships, moving beyond isolated observations to understand systemic behavior and dependencies.
The challenge is mapping complex interdependencies, which can be tricky. Overlooking a link can lead to flawed analysis, and it requires strong conceptual mapping skills or visualization tools.
Then we have pattern and anomaly detection. Its strength is recognizing recurring trends and significant deviations, often the most valuable indicators of issues or opportunities.
The challenge is distinguishing true patterns from noise, which needs careful data scrutiny. Anomalies can be misinterpreted if not thoroughly investigated, leading to incorrect conclusions.
Meaningful interpretation transforms observations into understanding by exploring context, causality, and implications. It moves analysis from what to why and so what.
The critical challenge here is avoiding the correlation-causation fallacy. Subjectivity can creep in, requiring rigorous validation of interpretations and hypotheses.
Finally, effective synthesis and communication ensures insights are delivered clearly and persuasively. It makes insights understandable and actionable.
The challenge lies in tailoring communication to diverse audiences, avoiding jargon, and balancing detail with brevity for maximum impact.
So, to wrap up, the art and science of general insights and analysis is about building a robust, adaptable framework. It's a continuous cycle of learning, refinement, and application.
It empowers us to navigate complexity, find meaning in ambiguity, and turn challenges into opportunities, no matter the subject. It's a skill that benefits every aspect of our professional and personal lives.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into developing that analytical muscle. It's been a fascinating exploration.
Indeed. Keep analyzing, keep questioning, and keep discovering. We'll catch you on the next episode of Mbago Media, Tech Talk.